Welcome to the teaching ministry of Joe McGee. It's a common myth that some people are just lucky in life, but anything great has to be purposefully built. You don't just happen to find a great marriage, family, or life. You build one. Let's listen in as hope is restored through the knowledge of God's Word and gain the skills we need to build something great. And now, here's Joe.
Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to Faith for Families. We are talking about the art of parenting. We're actually on the fourth part of that. We've had three sessions on this already, the art or the skill of parenting. Something you're not born with, but you develop after you get here. First thing we talked about was the fact that children are a reward from God. Psalms 127, 128, they are a gift, they are His inheritance, they are a reward. He says when you get pregnant, that's a good thing. But sometimes maybe not, because there are two lists of rewards. There is a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things. He said children can be a reward. They can bring joy and peace. They can bring prosperity and honor. They can also bring grief, sorrow, and bitterness and shame. And it's important we make sure we get our names on the right list and we stay there. And we get your name on the right list by doing what's right. And you've got to follow the Word of God. Anything that God created has got power in it. God created water, fire, marriage, kids, sex, money. Doesn't matter. Pick something God created. Man didn't make any of this. God did. And everything God created has got power in it. It's got the power to bless. It's got the power to kill. Water can quench your thirst. You can swim on it, ski on it. If you don't respect the laws that govern water, water can also drown you. Fire. Grill a steak, roast a marshmallow, have a romantic evening in front of the fireplace. But if you don't respect the laws that govern fire, fire can burn you to death. Marriage, closest thing to heaven on earth, or could be the closest thing to hell on earth. Right now, in your life and my life, money's either a blessing to us or money is a curse to us right now based on one thing alone. What have we done with it? Same thing with children. Children are a reward, but they can either be a good reward or they can be a bad reward based on, according to Luke 6:40, what we've done with them. And so children are a good thing. It's a plan of God that there would be kids, that we would, God created everything mature in the Garden of Eden, and maturity reproduced immaturity and trained it up to be mature and became a whole lifetime process. So we're reproducing ourselves. That's why we need to train up a child in a certain specific way, the way of God, the way they should go, which is God's way. That's why God said, my ways are not your ways. So we need to learn God's ways by going to church, reading your Bible, studying the Word of God, praying, growing in His grace and knowledge, so you learn the ways of God and not your, because there's ways that seem right to a man, but the end thereof is death. I don't want my ways ending in death. I want God's ways to end in life. There's a certain way, and I'll have to study. That's why it says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, that rightly dividing the word of truth. God, what do you say? I've heard what people say, and family said, and relatives said, and the newspaper said, and whatever. But what do you say, God? That's why the Bible says we sing the song. We love to sing it. Whose report will you believe? You're going to believe God's report? You're going to believe the other report? Just like the spies that came back out of the promised land before they crossed the Jordan. Two brought back a good report. 10 brought back an evil report. And unfortunately, the men and women of Israel chose to believe the evil report, except for Joshua and Caleb. And when they believed the evil report, good things did not happen. They did not possess the promised land. They did not go in and eat the land that was more than enough, live in houses that nobody, that people had built, or eat from vineyards others had planted. They didn't partake of that. They stayed in the wilderness for 40 years because they believed the wrong thing. Jesus went into his hometown, had been doing miracles everywhere, healing the sick, casting out devils, raising the dead, feeding hungry people, bringing sight to the blind and healing to the cripple. Yet when he came to his hometown, it says he could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. You know how critical is what we believe? Man, before you start having kids, you better find out what you believe. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Some people, life's a joy. They just love it. Love getting up. Love the challenges and opportunities in front of them. For some people, life's just a pain. They hate going to bed. They hate getting up. They hate where they work. They hate their family, their mom, their dad. They hate God and life. Well, somewhere along the line, they got a wrong belief system, and somebody put that into them. That's why God says it is critical that you have godly moms and dads reproducing a godly seed, training them up in a certain way so they want to willfully choose to serve and follow God and His commands and be a blessing in life so they can be blessed instead of being a cursing in life, living under a curse all their life. And you don't want that. The Bible says we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. which was poverty and sickness and death, then we're not to live under that. God says, Jesus not only came to give me life, but life more abundant. That's what he did for you. Ephesians 3:20, God's not trying to do what I'm asking. He's trying to do exceeding abundantly above all I ask or think. It's important what you believe. That's why you need to feed on the Word of God. You need to be in church every time the door is open. Have a great pastor who knows and believes in God and the power of God, the power of His Spirit and the truth of His Word, who teaches the Word of God line upon line and teaches the truth. There's a lot of teaching out there. Some of it's just goofy. Some of it's a lie. Some of it's heresy. Some of it's truth. The heresy won't set you free. The Bible says the truth will set you free. How do you know if it's truth? Does it line up with the Word of God? If it lines up with the Word of God, the Bible says the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a thing be established. You know, if I start believing something, somebody tells me something, can I find that two or three places in the Bible? If I can't find that two or three places in God's Word, I'm probably not going to believe it. Because there's many voices. That's why Jesus said, I am your shepherd, you are my sheep. You will hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger you will not follow. The voice of a stranger you will not hear. There are a lot of voices. They're not all telling the truth. I want to believe the truth. In the last days, there will be many false teachers deceiving many. You know, people having itching ears, being led astray. You know, it's like, I don't want to be led astray. I want to be walking the straight and narrow. I want my life to be full, fulfilled, serving God, believing the truth, enjoying life, enjoying being a husband, a father, an employer, employee. You know, I don't like life. That's what God came to give for me. He came to redeem me from death, you know, all the things that are attached with it. And people ought to be enjoying the process. He said, you need to ask me. You've not asked me things before. Ask me things now that your joy might be made full. God's trying to bless us. I know there's challenges in life, but that's why he called us more than conquerors, overcomers. You know, that's our job. We get to believe God, you know. It's incredible. So what happens? We have children. We're supposed to reproduce that process. And they should be a reward. Arrows in the hands of a mighty man. Almost spiritual weapons. I don't have kids that are a pain. I have kids that are an asset. Man, they help out around the house. They bring honor to their mom and dad. They grew up and they know how to pray and agree with us and believe God. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. If any two of you shall agree, anything they ask the Father, in touching anything they ask the Father on earth, it shall be done of their Father which is in heaven. Two are better than one, for if one falls, another can help him back up. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth. There's wisdom in a multitude of counselors, strength in numbers. Man, I want to reproduce ourselves so we think the same thing, do it. And we all have different personalities and gifts and certain likes, but we all have the same values, serve the same God, believe the same word, go in the same place. We're all part of the body of Christ. That's what the whole thing of parenting is about. Training up something, launching a child off into life that's going to do incredible things. Know how to overcome when things come up. Know how to be responsible. That means I'm responsible if I have the ability to respond to what hits me. And if I have God's word in me, I have that ability because this is what it is. The Bible says this, that wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your time, it says in Isaiah. Sure, if you go to Wall Street, New York, down in the financial district, on the front of the stock exchange down across the, in huge letters, in concrete, it says, it's got the scripture out of Isaiah 33. It says, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. When people are unstable, fearful, not knowing what's going on in the world, what's happening, war, anthrax, all this stuff, it says wisdom and knowledge that come only from God will be the stability. We'll be stable in an unstable world. And it says if that happens, 1 Peter 3, they'll ask you now about the hope that's in us. What an incredible promise. And when you have children grow up in a home like that, they have hope, they've got faith, they got a great attitude. You know, Isaiah 54:13 says, all of our children that are believers shall be taught of the Lord, and great will be their peace and undisturbed composure. Psalms 34:11 says this. It says, hearken to me, you children. Come to me, and I will teach you the fear of God. That's one of the most important things you'll ever do as a parent, is teach your child to fear the Lord, for that's the beginning of wisdom. So, where are we going to go today with this, about the art of parenting? As soon as I become a parent, I need to realize God has just rewarded me. It's incredible. I get an opportunity to train up a child to serve Him, to love Him, to live a full life on this planet, to get a good job, enjoy what to do, to get married, have kids of their own. I get the opportunity to participate in this incredible process of life. That means, number two, I've got responsibilities to feed them, to clothe them. We talk about when a child's born, he's born naked and hungry. You know, I've got to start providing immediately. And that's just part of the parenting process, which means I've got to increase my faith. I'm not just believing for me now. I'm believing for me and my children. We talked about 1 Timothy 5:8, anyone who does not provide for their own family, especially those of their own house, is worse than an unbeliever, an infidel, and has denied the faith. that my faith gets to grow, my ability gets to grow to provide more income and provide for my kids, and that I don't have to gripe and holler and scream, where do you think money comes from? You think money grows on trees? I don't have to do that. I get to trust God. That's my job. We talked about the next thing is I get to love this child like God loved me. Talked about Ephesians 4. I get to bring them up in the nurture. I get to nurture this child, to nurture and admonish the child in the love of God. That love is not an emotion, and we're going to have all the emotions as a parent. Happy, sad, mad, glad. But I'm to love consistently through all that. I do what's right because it's right. Because the love of God in me, I can love you even if you're not lovable. Even if you're not loved at this moment, I'll still love you and do what's right. We talked about that we need to bring our child to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's spiritually. I'm not just to raise a polite child that says yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, sir, and no, ma'am, and makes A's on the report card and dresses up nice. My job is to be responsible to train up a child that will love God, know Him as Lord and Savior, and can tell somebody that, quote the Scriptures, know that they're filled with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will never leave them nor forsake them, to be with them everywhere they go, that know that Jesus Christ is their healer, that not only does God forgive all of our iniquities, but He heals all of their diseases, that God's will is they live a long time on this earth, not a short time. That's why the Bible says, with a long life will I satisfy Him and show Him my salvation, and let them know that Jesus is the soon returning King, because that's called the blessed hope, and be able to do that and tell others that they're doing that. That is my responsibility as a parent, and I get the opportunity. That's why as a parent, I got to make sure we're in a good local church with a good pastor, fellowshipping with some good saints, because the Bible says as iron strikes iron, so the countenance of a friend, that we're fellowshipping with other people. We're not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, it says. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, especially in the last days as you see the Lord's return approaching. In other words, we need to be in church, feeding on the Word of God, worshiping God, you know, paying our tithes to our local church, being a part, helping out, ushering, teaching, doing all the things that you should be doing when you're part of a local church. And all of a sudden, now you begin to see the process. These are skills I may not have been born with, but I must develop. The right attitude of this child is a reward, not a curse. The right attitude that I'm responsible, and I don't have to provide for this child. I get to provide for this child. I don't have to feed and educate and clothe this child. I get to do that. I get to. And you got to get an attitude check in it. I get to love this child. That it's going to put demands on me at inopportune moments. Because then I must put a pull on God to be able to pass it on. Which means I've got to grow up as I watch my child grow up. Then I get to work an incredible process of seeing them saved, knowing they're going to spend eternity in heaven and not go to hell. That they'll willfully choose to serve God all their life. That they're born again, bought by the blood of the Lamb. Their names are written in the Lamb's book of life. That they can know that and never have to worry about doubting that regardless of what happens in their life. And then we bring them up probably to the last part, which is really the practical part of parenting, which we call training for successful living. And that's the last thing we really want to cover in the art of parenting, about training for successful living. The practical skills that really make a difference. You know, you can meet Christians all over who love God and have a good heart, but are very ignorant about the practical things of life. We talked one time in our family finances, Talking Dollars and Making Sense series, where we talked about in 2 Kings 4:1 about a widow whose husband, she said as she came to the prophet, she's a widow, her husband has died. She's left with two young sons and incredible debt, oh, immense debt that she cannot pay. She is so far in debt, the only way she can pay it off is she'll have to let her sons go and live with the debtors as slaves to pay off her husband's debt. So they won't not only see their father anymore because he's died, but they'll no longer see their mother anymore because they will be slaves paying off their father's debt. And she told the prophet of God, she said, my husband loved God, he feared God, he served God, but he died broke. He may have had knowledge of God, but he had no knowledge of money or how to finance, how to budget, how to believe God, and how to provide for his family. And so though he may have loved God, he sinned an incredible sin, because according to 1 Timothy 5:8, if I do not provide for my family, I am worse than an infidel. I am as one who has denied the faith. And again, it takes faith and works to do that. So part of the practical, successful things you need for living, you need to know how to provide for your family. I tell young girls, you know, I've got five daughters. You've got a prospective guy you think about marrying, you like him, you think he's handsome, and he's funny or whatever. There are certain basic things you need to know about him. Number one, does he have an ability to provide for you? You know, can he make a living? Has he got a job? You know, has he got a strong work ethic? Number one, does he have a personal relationship with Jesus? Because without that, how will he ever have the fear of God that gets him length of days, riches, and honor? He won't. Why would you marry somebody that's going to die early, be broke, and bring dishonor to your name? You're going to leave your family name and take on the name. So you want to know, you know, has he got an ability? Does he have a job, an ability to get a job? Has he got the education to get a good paying job to provide for you? Does he know Jesus? Is he going to ride your relationship with Jesus? You know, there are certain things you really need to know about them. So what we want to talk about here are five basic skills, things that need to be done that are really practical in training for successful living. Number one, five things that will mold our children's habits that they're going to watch. And what this is daily. This is that daily stuff we talked about in the last class about Romans 12:2, how we are to daily renew our mind with the Word of God. Every day we read. Why? Because our brains leak out. We forget. You don't just read the Bible one time. You don't go to church one time. You don't just get up at Christmas or Easter. You need to go regularly to keep feeding on the Word of God. You eat meals every day. You know, you sleep every day. You should bathe every day. You ought to feed on the Word a little bit every day so your spirit grows up. Or your spirit will get weak. You can have a strong body and a weak spirit. You know, it says, "Don't you fainted in the day of adversity because your faith was small." You don't want to have small faith. You want to have great faith. So here are the five things that mold habits and attitudes for life. Number one is children need a great example around them. We're talking about things for successful living. You know, I know your reward. You know, I know I've got responsible things to train you, feed you, educate you, clothe you, and so forth. I'm to love you. I'm to make sure you're saved. But now this is where, am I a Christian just at church or am I a Christian at home? Am I a Christian just when I'm around other people that I know other Christians? Or do I live it every day inside my four walls of my house? And so it says, the first thing I need an example. Paul wrote, he said this, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. They need to see an example of a godly mom and a godly dad. That means in character, in integrity, in work ethic, and all the things. How can I ask my child to be a hard worker if I'm not? How can I ask my child to clean their bedroom up if my bedroom's not clean? How can I ask my child to make sure they're doing their homework when I'm not paying my bills or something? In other words, I'm living my life by example. It's the old thing of, you know, don't do what I do what I say. Well, kids don't do that. They do what we do. I want to read to you. There's a psalm here in Psalm 34 talking about being an example and stuff and about, you know, the Word of God and fear of God. And I want you to just listen to this. They need to see, you know, that daddy doesn't just send the kid off to church with mom. But that dad goes to church, and daddy's working overtime, or he has to work, study. He makes sure they go, and that, you know, they're participating. Make sure daddy needs to make sure the kids got their own Bible, that they maybe got a little daily Bible reading thing they do for 5 minutes every day before they leave the house, maybe at nighttime before they go to bed. You don't need to be a theologian. You don't need to cover from Genesis. That just find something that feeds them, because it'll develop its own hunger. But listen, this is Psalms 34, verse 7. And I'm talking about an example. There's a reason we live the way we live. There's a reason we go to church when maybe others don't. There's a reason we pray over food when others don't. There's a reason we believe God if somebody gets sick when others don't. Or if we get laid off, we're going to believe God for a better job. Why do not other people pray? I don't know. As a believer, this is how we're supposed to live. But Psalm 34, verse 7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps round about those that fear him and delivers them." Why are we serving God, Daddy? Why is it important we're Christians when I got friends that aren't Christians? Because I need deliverance sometimes. There are enemies out there, and I thank God for the angels of God that camp around us because we fear him, and then God promises to deliver us. And there'll come a time you're going to need some deliverance. It says in verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him." Why are we Christians, Daddy? Why we do this? Why? Because God is real stinking good, and I want to receive the goodness of God, and I want to please God. God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Without faith, you cannot please God. I want to please God by my faith, by the fact I believe him for everything in life. "Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for there's no want to those that fear him." It says, you want to, listen, let me just look at all this. God's going to deliver me. I need to taste and see that he's good. There's no lack for those that serve him and fear him. So I don't want to live in lack. I don't want to live in fear. I don't want to be bound up. Why are we serving God? Because I want to be delivered. I want to know that God's good. I want to live a good life. I want to be like Jesus said. I'm not coming to just give you life. I'm coming to give you life more abundant. Ephesians 3:20. I'm not trying to do what you're asking. I'm trying to do exceeding abundantly above and beyond. God is incredibly good. You know, the Bible says in Romans that God draws the unbeliever out of his goodness, not out of fear or lightning bolts or tragedy. God pulls on people by being good to them. Daddy, why don't we do this? The example. You know, when you set an example, you've got to show certain things about that. I want to know that God's, look, I want the goodness of God on me. I want delivered. I don't want to have lack. It says in verse 10, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek God shall not want any good thing." There's nothing we want that's good because we've got it because God supplied it because we serve him. And there's blessing in obedience. And you set it by example in your words, your deeds, your actions. My kids read their Bible because they see Dad and Mom read theirs. It's not a religious thing. We're fellowship. We're feeding our spirit. We're growing in our faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so I want my kids to see that we do that because you're going to encounter challenges. In Luke 6:46, Jesus said, the test and the trials of life come to every family. No family is immune from the tests and trials of life. So when they come, I don't want them to lay me out like a pancake on the concrete. I want to be able to get back up because my faith, I got my shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. And whenever I'm attacked, I can use that and get back up and keep moving. You know, it says the righteous fall seven times a day, but they keep getting back up. They either repent, forgive, get the handle of the plow, rebuke the devil, take authority, and start moving again. It says, verse 11, come, children, hearken to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is you don't give somebody laying hands on them or praying for them, walking around them seven times, blowing on them, throwing your coat on them. It says the fear of God's taught. Well, you got to have mom and dad to teach. You know, there's only two institutions ever ordained to teach kids, the church and parents. Those are really the two primary institutions. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desires life and loves many days that he may see good? So what man isn't there out that's out there that doesn't want to see a long life? Look at this. And many days and see good life. What everybody wants to live and live a good life. It nothing. How do you do that? The fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. He said, I will teach you that. If you'll come sit down and listen to me. By example, I've let somebody teach me. I'm submitted to my pastor and the Word of God and my wife and I to each other according to Ephesians, you know, and listen. So if we're doing starting to get goofy, somebody can correct you. If you want to see a good life, long days, a good life, keep your tongue from evil and see that your lips speak no guile. He said, depart from evil. Do good. How can I do good if I don't know what good is? That's why you read the Word of God. For only God is good. So if I want to do it, I need to know it. Do good, seek peace, pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those that are of a broken heart, and saves such that be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Isn't that incredible? We're in Psalms 34. We're reading all this out of Psalms 34. That was verse 19. It says, listen, if you live right, well, Daddy, why don't we do this? Because we're setting an example. Somebody lived before me, and my pastor sets an example. God set an example. Christ set an example. The Word of God was written for an example. I'm trying to be an example to you because I want you to live a long life and see good days. And I want you to watch it. You don't just say anything, hit your brain, your mouth. You don't speak evil and guile and say, God's going to deliver. We won't have lack. We won't suffer want. God's trying to bless us because we live a right life. Said, He keeps the righteous bones so none of them is broken. Evil may slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. But the Lord redeems the souls of His servants, and none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. That's why we set an example. I want you to live like I live, because God's blessed me. Sure, we've gone through tests and trials, and things have tried to come. But man, we've trusted in God, and God's always delivered and brought us out. And we've always come out the other side better than before we went in. So whatever evil's tried to come against us, Romans says God will turn that evil into good. There's no evil trying to come. He's not turned into good. So set an example. Number two, you have to be an encouragement. God is the biggest cheerleader you've ever seen. He's got big pom-poms. Got to get the pom-poms in and encourage. You know, one of the motivational gifts in Romans is that of exhortation. Exhortation. Next is explanation. You're going to have to explain some things to your kids. Daddy, why do the wicked prosper? You know, David asked that. You know, he asked, why do the wicked prosper? And he's talking about, well, because the devil's not messing with them. They're going to hell. He's not trying to mess with their life. And so sometimes you got to explain, why? How come they didn't invite me to the birthday party? How come so-and-so doesn't want to be my friend? If God loves me, how come everything's not perfect? And you have to explain to kids how life is, that life, we fight a fight of faith. We don't fight the devil, but we do have to fight things. Not everything goes exactly like you think. How come I didn't make the ball team, Dad? How come I wasn't born with eye-hand coordination? Well, because you've got a gift, that's just not one of them. You're going to have to spend time in the batting cage and explain the things of life. The next thing is experience. You're going to have to let your kids experience some things. Now, I don't mean where they get hurt or anything. I'm not talking about things like that. But you can't protect them from frustration, from rejection, from maybe somebody making fun of them. Sometimes you've got to experience life and realize something. You know, you're not going to die. You know, there's some people that just... There are good people, there's okay people, and there's evil people. But God will protect and deliver. And the last thing is what we call emendation. Emendation is just a fancy word for correction. You know, I'm going to have to let you experience that. There's a price to pay. You break, you know, you speed down the highway, you're going to have to pay a fine if they catch you. You've got to pay a penalty. Sin, the wages of sin is death. It costs. And I want you to understand that. So you'll want to avoid that. Correction, you know, God says, because I love you, I will correct you. And so what we're talking about is training for successful living. I've got to set an example by my own lifestyle. Everything from how I work, how I talk. If the phone rings, I'm here. I don't lie. I mean, by example. Number two, by encouragement. That there's a tendency to get discouraged. That exhortation is one of the seven motivational gifts in Romans chapter 12. The gift of exhortation, giving, prophecy. Exhorting is important. You know, even prophecy. The Bible says prophecy is to edify, exhort, and comfort. When God speaks to his people, he's trying to edify, exhort, and comfort. So part of what we do as a parent, Romans 13, verse 1 through 8 says if you're in a position of responsibility, you have to do two things, confront and punish that which is evil, but praise that which is good. So exhortation, encouragement, explanation, it takes time. Mom and dad, sometimes you want to go to bed, you're going to have to do some explaining about some things, why life is the way it is, why people are the way they are, and why sometimes good people go stupid and are cruel. There's just things you have to explain. Experience, you can't protect your kid under a bubble. They're going to experience some things, but that's how they grow. You grow through adversity. That's how you build character. The last thing is correction. I love you, but I will correct you if you start going the wrong way. These are the skills. These are the things that are the art of parenting. Thank God all this is in his word. He'll help us. He won't leave us. Mom and dad, may God give you liberal wisdom in training up your children in the way they should go, so that when they're old, they'll not depart from it. They'll live long, be rich, and bring you great honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray God's best for you and your family. For more resources, to become a partner, or to share your story of hope restored, visit us at joemcgeeministries.com.